before entering into Ramadan, three types of human beings you will see before entering into Ramadan. One are those, the three types of Muslim. One are those who wait all year long for this Ramadan to arrive. And they don't say from their tongue, but in reality, from their heart, they are waiting for this month of Ramadan, for the blessings, its mercy, its greatness, its grace that they are waiting for. So they do dua for Ramadan to come. They are waiting for Ramadan from their hearts, from the depths of their hearts. Then there's other people who are in between that. Number two, okay, if Ramadan has come, that's fine, alhamdulillah. If it doesn't come, if they don't see it, etc., then no big deal. No big deal. And so they are waiting, they do want it, but if they don't see it, they see the reality of it, then no big deal. So they're in between. And the third type of people we have are those who don't really care about Ramadan. Rather, a little bit, we can say that jokingly, oh, Ramadan's come again, oh gosh. Oh, we have to keep the fast again, oh no. Yani, in other words, they speak negatively on the tip of their tongues. So these three people, the difference between these three categories of people, what is the difference between the three? The difference is in their hearts, inside their hearts. The human being, the difference you see between human beings, the difference actually generates from within the heart. Whoever's heart, alhamdulillah, is pure and clean, then very quickly he accepts good things, that heart. That's the quality of that person. Yeah? For example, he doesn't need to work really hard to be convinced because he's already worked on his heart, so the heart absorbs and accepts the good things. So, immediately that person accepts the good things. And for that person, rather, he doesn't just accept those good things, he has, it's a source of happiness for him when he lies down in the evening, then to get up in the morning, he's waiting to get up for tahajjud. Rather, sometimes he's tossing and turning and looking at the clock, have I got late to get up? When a person has these emotions and feelings within him, then he should be millions of times grateful, Allah, that my heart's condition is good. It is good. So the heart is such an organ, is such a piece of flesh, that the heart is the friend of the human being, a good friend. If you make friendship with the heart and you make it clean, then the heart will go with you until the grave and qiyamah. And the heart will testify on your behalf and say, you be quiet, I'll speak for you, the heart will say. Forget who's asking, which angels is challenging you, I'll answer the question, the heart will say. The heart will help you. Your heart will help you. So the second category of person who's in between, they don't really work on the heart. Sometimes they work on it a bit. Sometimes according to their habit. Sometimes there's the dirt, sometimes clean. There's more dirt probably on that person. What type of impurity is there on the heart? That we have to think about now. Third category of people who don't even really care and don't pay any attention. Rather, the whole of the, you could say, effect of the dunya overwhelms that person. Ghaflat, negligence. In the hadith it states that when a person does wrong actions, commits sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on his heart, a black dot appears. Now, if this being told us to us in hadith, it is a fact 100%. This happens even though we can't see it, but it's happening. But it's happening. We believe this. So the pious predecessors, they've seen this as well. This feeling, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah, saw the reality of this hadith with his eyes. With his eyes, the black dot appearing on the heart when a person sins. So negligence, laziness is such a negative emotion and feeling. For example, if you have a mound of dirt covering the heart, it becomes black and dirty. So if you have a dry piece of earth, what flower are you going to grow there? What cultivation, what farming, what grass is going to grow in it? You'll try, it's just dry, dirty, black soil. You can't grow nothing. There are people like that who they say, oh, leave it, yaar. Oh, pray Juma, brother. Oh, we'll pray one day. Worry about yourself. Why are you telling other people? Then they'll start fighting with him. You'll start fighting. So this is the difference in the categories of the people. When we get close to Qiyamah, if you see then the quantity, then the third category of people will increase in the days close to Qiyamah. These people will be higher. Category number three. The people in between will be then second, and then the first category of people will be much less. Much less. Then there'll be other people who do acting and drama, but the real, genuine people will be less. Category number one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He brings Ramadan after 1 year, and so we have the three categories of people who have different conditions, different, they're doing different type of dua. The first person's waiting for Ramadan with the love, and they give it, Ramadan gives them benefit. All the categories, they get benefit. So then the believer, when he enters into Ramadan, he's grateful, and they raise their hands already in advance, they embrace Ramadan. Category number one, that Ramadan, you have come, but yes, I was remembering you before you even arrived. Subhanallah. And Ramadan comes by and says that I remembered, I was distant from you. And then there's this good spiritual feeling of those people, mashallah, and they have a good Ramadan. They don't even leave 1 minute, mashallah, free or to waste from the ibadah of Allah, the worship of Allah. So there are people like that. And their ibadah is on the uruj in Ramadan. They don't waste any time. Totally, they don't waste any time. Walking, talking, they're remembering Allah. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, they're remembering Allah. In reality, that they give dua to their sheikh, that what is it you've taught me, that not a second of Ramadan did you allow me to waste, oh my teacher. You taught me such a remembrance of Allah. And my heart, you put the imprint of Allah's name. We're walking wherever we are. Allah, 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 wa lataif, our lessons are alive. So Ramadan like this, very few and far between people have this. What a beautiful Ramadan, that every second, every moment they're doing the dhikr of Allah. And they give dua to their sheikh, to their teacher. The subhanallah, this is the karma of my sheikh. What a great Ramadan, oh my teacher, you've given to me. And mashallah, then they get Ramadan with love, with affection. So now you can analyze that, what should we do ourselves? This is something to think about. That's why we're talking, the result will come out, that mashallah, you have intellect. That which category of people are you in? And if we're not in the group number one, what should we do? How did we receive Ramadan? How did we welcome Ramadan? What's our relationship with Ramadan? So in the same way, then you have the category number two, group number two people. They come sometimes, okay, Ramadan's come, we'll have to do things. Okay, we'll keep the fast. We have to keep them, isn't it? Little bit happiness, 50% happiness, 50% normality. The third group of people, who will tell them? Who will explain to them? Allah Ta'ala promises that He has got Iman, He's got belief, I am His creator, He's believed in me. I don't want him either to go into Jahannam. Allah says, the group number three, the negligent, lazy people, ignorant. Allah says, I've prepared and created Ramadan, not for the great people, not for the pious people, for not the Jannatis. Allah says, I love these people more, group number three. I've given Ramadan for these people. How shall we bring them towards paradise? Who will explain to them? They have no akal, they don't come to the masjid to hear a waaz, a lecture, and sit in tabliq or in zikr. Their mind doesn't go towards those topics at all. Very difficult to explain to them to come towards the deen. Group number three. So my brothers, the point here is this, that today, when you sit in the masjid, when you're doing zikr, you have the imam on your heads. What's the reason for this? That your tarbiyah has taken place already in advance. You educated and coached towards the good and guided. If you didn't have tarbiyah, I won't say this, but I speak about myself. We don't know where we would be. I don't know where I would be if I didn't get tarbiyah. How did we know what is the imam? What do we know about dhuhr and asr, dhikr? What did we know about leaving this? Rather, we used to laugh. We could have laughed. Leaving the shop, oh, he's a madman, leaving his shop, going to, and the people at his home, they're doing something else. He's left his home and he's come to the masjid, and his children, they're doing something else. So what's the result of this? Tarbiyah, coaching, guidance, improvement. But it's sad to say that, subhanallah, the mother, she gives birth, and the father who's given responsibility of his son or daughter, the father's been given responsibility of his children, and the children grew up in their laps, and the mother gave birth to the child, and after the child gave birth, and they gave the milk from her breast, but that mother doesn't do tarbiyah of her children today. The father doesn't do tarbiyah. He doesn't care about the imam of the son, doesn't care about the beard of the son, the father. He doesn't care about the jannah and the hellfire of the son or the daughter. The mother and the father. Why? Because we ourselves were improved by tarbiyah. If with a true heart, a mother and father does tarbiyah of the child and focuses the children towards thereafter and understands what's happening inside the children, their psychology, the nafsiyat, and according to that they work on them and it treats them. I've seen mothers and fathers that give sacrifices for the sake of their children. They don't argue, they don't fight, they don't have a relationship. They don't have a compatibility. This is the dunya we're living in. It's not that we all sat there, my wife, she's 100% with me, my children, husband. There are thousands of circumstances that come in your life. Not everybody is on the same wavelength, but we should all have one aim. We should all have one target. That our akhirah, hereafter, is our aim. And for the akhirah, as much as you have to sacrifice, give the sacrifice. Yeah, if you're not compatible, if you're not made up together, but don't waste the life of the children. I'm talking about the society here, tarbiyah, coaching and guidance. A mother should think that due to my fighting and arguments, the father should think that due to my disputes and quarrels and issues, there's such an asset that Allah Ta'ala has given as a ni'mah, and you will be asked about your children very quickly in the day of judgment. You'll be questioned that what tarbiyah did you give to your children? How did you bring them up? How did you coach them? How did you guide them? Now say this with yaqeen, my iman says this and the Quran says this for this reason. That if with a true heart, if we do tarbiyah, just like we, if we were animals before and we were given tarbiyah and we are corrected, subhanAllah, our children are like horses and they're good. That where's our thoughts going? But we have been given tarbiyah. Someone worked on me and you while we sat here, they gave time, spent time from Allah upon you. Allah's fadl and grace came to you. That is not your blood relative, you have no relationship with that person, he doesn't even know your language maybe, he doesn't have the same taste as you, and his hobbies don't meet with you, but with Allah's fadl, with Allah's grace, that more than your mother and father, somebody has given you care and tarbiyah, and has looked after you, the reward that can go to him, can anybody else get the reward, that person who's taught you the deen, no one can repay that favor in this world, Allah will give that reward and thereafter. Who can reward Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh? If I give thousands and millions of things to him, give him gifts, thousands, millions, it's not enough. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that personality, that person. And then imagine you, if you got children and you are blood relative of your children, and you can give tarbiyah. So here I will request that if we haven't done anything yet, there's still time. My mothers and sisters listening, my friends and brothers, my colleagues will be listening. For the sake of Allah, Allah has given you responsibility. Children offspring, don't lose heart. Tarbiyah changes a person. If you work hard, if you look at a sheikh, how much he works hard on the murid, on the student. You can't imagine this. This is the tawajjuh of the sheikh that you still come to dhikr after that. I'll tell you the honest truth. This is the honest truth. Even some people, they're upset with the teacher. He feels like, I'm never going to come again to dhikr or the majlis. But the sheikh loves the student so much, he pulls on the student and he comes again. If only my student can be on the right path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the last second has the hope on his servant. Say subhanallah. That he will come to iman. He will come to iman. He's drinking alcohol, running after girls and women, speaking against Allah, speaking against the Rasulullah sallam, speaking against the deen of Islam. But he's recited the kalima. He's recited the kalima. Allah says, my rahmah is waiting, waiting for you, O foolish man, that before death, if you do tawbah, Allah says, I will take you into my shelter. My rahmah will embrace you. Subhanallah. This is the connection of the person who has iman with Allah is very strong. Very strong is the relationship between the person who has iman and Allah. And that same splash of rahmah, Allah installs into the heart of the sheikh, because this is a tarbiyah camp, so I'm discussing these points with you. So the sheikh, he has that love, that real love, the mashallah, rahmah and mercy of the sheikh, that the sheikh, that the, he gives more love than the mother and father. He's left everything, gives time to the student in reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts a splash of that rahmah into the heart of the sheikh, the teacher. The one small atom's way of that love that Allah ta'ala demonstrates, and that love that the sheikh has, it pulls on the teacher. He gets the peace I've got, the company of my teacher I've got nowhere else. That I'm not a sheikh, I'm not a teacher. I'm just talking to you generally. That if you speak to somebody in a nice way 2 days ago, even until now, I'll give you the example, I ask for forgiveness. I shouldn't talk about another person. People come, and this person came with a broken heart to meet me. And he was extremely distressed and sad. And I didn't have time at that time. I didn't even have time. He came to me, suddenly, that I had the connection. And always at that point, Allah Ta'ala instilled that I took my shoes off there. In the masjid, I said, yes, I'll speak to you. I took my shoes off, gave him the time. I forgot that I had to, what I had to do, what my mamaluta, what was I to do at that time or not. I forgot about that schedule. So then I brought him in, and he was extremely upset and brokenhearted, that person. And I can't tell you his issue. In my eyes, the tears came when I heard his event. And the subhanAllah. And it didn't look like there was a distance between him and the deen. I sat him down, alhamdulillah. With the heart, I gave him time and affection and love, and he forgot everything. And in my eyes, there were tears when I saw him. And the tears coming, this is the sign of rahmah, mercy. If the tears come in the eyes. So he, after a while sitting, then from his mouth the words came out, Subhanallah. Then I realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not capable, but the shaykh, the teacher, the pious friends of Allah, look what they have inside them. That person is then pulled and he's invited. And then he sat down when I spoke. Then he said, my heart doesn't feel like getting up. The matter of peace I've attained it. I've not attained anywhere else, he said. And I didn't give him food, I didn't give him money, I didn't say anything to him special, but what did I do? Just with the knee of tarbiyah, I gave him love and affection for the tarbiyah. That Allah change his broken heart into tarbiyah, I'll call him to Allah and his Rasul, because that is where peace is attained. أَلَّذِينَ تَطْمَيْنَ قُلُوبٍ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Sakina and contentment go to the corners of the globe. Go to the far corners of the world. Try all the methods. But sukoon and peace you'll attain where the zikr of Allah is taking place. The friends of Allah, they are the roots of the zikr of Allah. They're the keys to the zikr of Allah. The walis of Allah. Subhanallah. So this, the era close to Qiyamah, that will take us far from the walis of Allah. And we will run after fake things, drama, deceit. But the cure for us is in Allah's rahmah and His fadl, in His grace and in His mercy. And after 1 year, Ramadan comes with this message to us. That all year long you were off track. Shall I show you how great this month is? Are you enjoying yourself, Ramadan? Us? We say, yes, we are enjoying. And the third group of people who Allah Ta'ala is worrying about, Allah is concerned about those people. Group number three, you know when there's a child who's spoilt. Mother and father, they're worried about him more. They'll pay attention to this child more. He's spoilt. We need to change him. So brothers, my colleagues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I'm not going to leave this group three. These people off track. You have got iman. You've recited the kalama. Even though you're committing sins and shaitani actions, but Allah says, I want to purify you. So to purify the group three people, I say, for due to their sake, Allah ta'ala send Ramadan for those people. Not for the pious people. They will automatically, inshallah, without any reckoning, hisab, going to Jannah. But who will last the group three people? The category three who aren't even aware of the deen. They don't care about the deen. So what happens? Allah Ta'ala sends such a month, Ramadan, for those people who are negligent, ignorant. Allah Ta'ala, like a magnet. You know the magnetic pull, magnetic force. So it's a magnetic force of the iman. Subhanallah. That person who isn't as an atom's weight of iman, then Ramadan like a magnet will pull on those people. What's his feeling when Ramadan comes? There's one who's happy, group number one. Group number two are in between. Okay, we'll practice another. The third person who didn't even care, his heart didn't feel. But when the magnet pulls, when he sees everyone else, then he's ashamed. And he feels shame. Okay, I'll keep the fast as well. Oh, yeah, it's hard. I have to go to work, do this. I have to keep the fast as well. Oh, gosh. So the magnet pulls a little bit. Brings him closer, that person. Ramadan, the magnet. Then when his eyes opens, he says, okay, fine, we'll try. And then he lies down. He's just shaken a little bit due to Ramadan, towards Ramadan. Then suddenly, Allah Ta'ala makes his eyes open in the night. He said, my eyes never used to open before. He looks around, he can hear the noise. And this is reality in people. There are people like this. And I know people like this. Thousands. Maybe I'm like that myself. Maybe I'm like that myself. So that person, he wakes up. So what's going on? They say food, suhoor time. So at that time for eating, nobody eats at that time. There's no desire. Early morning, he goes, okay, I'll eat a little bit as well, yaar. I'll have a little bit of food. And then until Zohar, that even if he doesn't want to keep the fast, he said, oh, I could break if I need to. But he remembers I had to go to the doctor to do other things. Oh, yaar, today for my business, I had a meeting, I had to meet that person. So in his heart, he makes a weak niyyah for the fast. At that time, majority of the people like today, they're like this, unfortunately. So he has the suhoor, the pre-dawn meal, sari, and due to fear, he had a little bit more food. He said, I don't know, will I be able to fast? And so he has a lot more food than he wants to do. With Allah's karam, Allah allows him to digest all the food. Normally we can't eat at that time. So then he keeps the fast. He keeps the fast. So he's keeping the fast. In his heart, he didn't have the niyyah to pray salah, just to keep the fast. Just to keep the fast. Then Allah Ta'ala, when he creates such a silsila during the day for that person, wherever he goes, there's talk about salah. He bumps into people. Have you kept the fast? Why are you not praying? He said, me? I didn't used to pray before. Okay, I'm fasting. It's not good if you don't pray. He says, okay, fine, I'll think about it. Then he goes to pray Salah as well. Subhanallah. So the person didn't even have intention. Allah made him keep the fast. He got up in the morning to eat. Little bit of a thought. Everyone else is keeping the fast. I'll keep the fast. After that, he wakes up. Allah Ta'ala made him wake up in the morning. Sahri time. He has the sahri. Allah Ta'ala even made him go to the masjid and pray Salah. So these are the two asal things in Ramadan, without which you cannot even get the spring of Ramadan, isn't it? One is the fast itself, and secondly, the Taraweeh in the night. Subhanallah. Taraweeh, if there's no Taraweeh, then Ramadan is 50%. Half. If there's no Taraweeh, then what will be the hal of us people if we don't have Taraweeh? So this is the real light and nur of Ramadan. He didn't pray ever before. 2 rakah, now there's 20 rakah. It was impossible for him even 2 rakah. But look at the kashish, the pull of Ramadan, the barakat of Ramadan. Look at this. So then what happened? That Ramadan pulled him, dragged him. He said, okay, yaar, people say you can even do 8 rakahs. I'm only going to pray 8 rakah tarawees because I've got to go work. So he comes towards the 8. He stood at the back. But by chance where he went, the people, the Hufaz, they were very good at reciting the Quran. He never heard Quran before. And his intention was just to read 8 beautiful, melodious tones of the Quran. Subhanallah. And the Quran is its own pull and Ramadan has its own attraction. Subhanallah. The color comes out. And it comes out the effect soon as Isha ends and it's the Tarawih time. Then the color of the Quran, the tone of the Quran, the beautiful attraction of the Quran. To hear, read the Quran, the enjoyment is more than double, more than triple. The beautiful taste and enjoyment. Because Allah Ta'ala selects something. When Allah selects a special time for something, then there's more enjoyment at that time for the action. More nuraniyat. When Allah has ordered, for example, for all of us, wadhkurullaha kathira. That always do dhikr in high quantity. And on top of that, Allah Ta'ala says, sabbaha, morning and the evening. These are two select times to dhikr. Kathir. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wa sabbahu bukratan wa asila. So Allah Ta'ala selected the 2 times for doing dhikr. 2 times. So for that, Allah says, imagine the amount of light. The Prophet ﷺ said that person who sits in the morning in doing dhikr of Allah after fajr, he doesn't do any other action, and he sits in dhikrullah. Because that is the time Allah Ta'ala has apportioned. The whole day you can do dhikr, you won't get that taste and enjoyment that you get in the morning after fajr until ishraq in maraqab. That's the great time to do dhikr. So at that time, you will get the taste of dhikr, not in the morning, in the afternoon, not zuhr time. It is the time, because Allah selected. It was khas, special, select, tawajjuh, focus of Allah is on the human being. Allah says, I told him, so due to listening to me, he sat down. That if you sit down due to listening to Allah, and in Ramadan, Allah seats us down in every action. And then when you go in the rafter, I'll give you, that when you depart after ishraq, go take 1 reward of a hajj and umrah. Is this a small reward? Is this a small reward Allah has given? If you sit in dhikr after fajr until ishraq, that you listen to what I was saying, and you listen to my words, that here you will prefer after asr, the second time. Allah says, do my dhikr after asr. That's a ajeeb, unique rule. The Prophet ﷺ said, thy heart feels like I sit with a jama'ah who does dhikr after asr. Amazing. The Prophet ﷺ will only feel like sitting because he knows Allah's marifah that is descending, Allah's rahmas are descending. So his heart felt himself to sit down. Imagine the fuyuz and the beautiful virtues of the Rasulullah said, I like to sit at that time. That due to that time of doing dhikr after asr, those men and women who do dhikr at that time, they are beloved to the Prophet. So remember, after asr, definitely sit down and do dhikrullah. Do maraqabah 10 minutes, 5 minutes. MashaAllah, your dhikr is such naqshbandi silsala. You don't need to do nothing. Close your eyes, focus on the heart and start your work. You don't need to look towards a masjid or your shop or your car after asr. Even if you're working at a shop, business place, workplace, close your eyes behind the till. Close your eyes 5 minutes. Allah says, MashaAllah. I like that. He's doing my dhikr after asr. And Allah says, Tijaratun dhikrullah. Even tijara didn't stop him. His family, nothing stopped him from dhikr. He gets more enjoyment. So what happens about that person? That he came to Isha. He prayed Isha. He stood up for Taraweeh. His intention was just to pray 8. He says, Yaar, I'm enjoying myself here. And then he reads all 20 rakats. All his fear evaporated, vanished. He said, Yaar, the enjoyment. Is that it? This is the deen of Islam. He says, from this people running away and people claiming, showing off, I'm praying Salah, Yaar. This is no big deal. practicing the deen. Look at this point here. It becomes easy for him. There's a hadith al-Qudsi I'll share with you with this fact. What's hadith al-Qudsi? Hadith al-Qudsi is that Allah's Nabi Sallam, the Holy Prophet Sallam, is narrating the hadith direct from Allah, his words. One is the Quran, the Wahi, and then there's another revelation that's not come in the Quranic form. It's the Holy Prophet Sallam's words, direct revelation of Allah. Hadith al-Qudsi, this is called. It's a high grade of hadith. So imagine the maqam of this hadith where Allah Ta'ala is himself giving the words, and about the same Ramadan that we are passing through. Allah Ta'ala says that when my servant, when he comes towards me, subhanallah, say subhanallah. When he comes towards me, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he gave a beautiful tafsir on this hadith, beautiful explanation. That Allah Ta'ala says that when my servant comes towards me, one footstep, subhanallah, then the effect of the, that's one hand, you could say like hands width. Then Allah says, then I also come towards him. I'm his Rabb. Then I open both hands and come towards him. Open hands and I come towards him. What does that mean? So that person, he's coming towards Allah, the cubit, the hand's length. But Allah Ta'ala says, I come more than that because I want to embrace my servant. I want to give him my qurb, my nearness. Then Allah Ta'ala says that when my servant, he walks towards me, then his Rabb, he runs towards his servant to grab him, to get into him. So this is the relationship between the servant and his Rabb through which Ramadan, Allah has explained this, and this is tazkiyah. This is tazkiyah, purification, that when a student goes to his sheikh, mostly I've seen people like this. Mostly they just come by chance. Oh, let's see, what's this zikr? Who's this friend of Allah? Wali Allah? Okay, we'll get this sheikh to write ta'weez for us, etc. But the end point for them, conclusion, they depart as a wali of Allah. I've seen this in my eyes in my lifetime. They have a different niyyah, but their leave is different. And when I saw this in the sohbat, the company of my sheikh, the most sinful of people, a person who is a waster, the people say, who's this? He's come. He's arrived. And I talk about Karachi here. Hazrat was there, present. And he sat there, right at the back, like a thief, that he considered himself like a thief. The poor saw that I'll go there, subhanallah. So, Allah's karam. Hazrat saw him, Hazrat blessed eyes, and he was hiding at the back. Hazrat said, come forward, why are you sitting at the back? The subhanallah. So as soon as he came and he shook hands for Musafa, then he took bayah straight away with Hazrat. Subhanallah. One person who comes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one cubit, one handspan. And this is the message of the whole of Ramadan. The person who comes towards Allah, one handspan, one cubit, one arm's length, and he walks towards Allah. When he enters, subhanAllah, then he said, this is nothing. That man, all of his fear evaporated. Then when he got up, he'll get up with passion the next morning. That example I'm giving you, with desire and fervor, he'll get up the next morning and he'll be active. And that previous feeling he won't have, then he'll keep the fast, then he's keeping the fast, he's going to Salah, he's praying Taraweeh. To this extent, when he departs after Ramadan, subhanallah. Then after leaving Ramadan, the speciality of Ramadan, the quality of Ramadan, that those people whose hearts become tender and soft, and they come towards Ramadan that we want to improve ourselves, then their lives are changed, their fortunes are changed after Ramadan. And many people, you'll see that the Ramadan, when it leaves, it makes them change, improve. Those people didn't pray Salah, they pray Salah. Those women folk, sisters didn't have hijab, they start with hijab, the parda, whose haya comes. What's the parda? If you don't wear the jilbab or hijab, what's the difference if a woman wears it or not? But haya, modesty, because the woman, the definition of the name of woman is she who hides in seclusion. She's behind the barrier. So why will the woman leave the home and come out into the open when she leaves the fitrah, the natural way of life? So those women who don't do parda, who aren't behind the barrier, behind the hijab, they have gone beyond the natural border. The quality Allah Ta'ala has given them, they have crushed that quality of haya, of modesty. So that woman, that whenever anyone looks at her face, she doesn't make any difference to her. When anyone looks at her body, doesn't make any difference to her. She doesn't feel the haya. But the woman who has haya, when the haya comes inside, and what is haya? What does modesty bring to the woman? Haya brings those things due to taqwa. Due to taqwa, due to fear of Allah. So this month is full of taqwa. Our Ramadan is full of taqwa. Full of taqwa. The sheikh's heart is full of taqwa. His chest is full of taqwa. These are the two resources that give us taqwa, subhanAllah. So the haya comes into that person. And subhanAllah, Ramadan, it surrounds that person with haya. Modesty comes, soon as modesty comes to that person, then that sister, she makes the niyyah for niqab. She makes the niyyah to wear the burqa, to wear the jilbab. She makes the niyyah to leave the sins. In the same way, those people are colleagues who are sinful, extreme sinful. Then when they leave Ramadan at the end, they make the niyyah to keep the beard. He says, no, I'm going to pray salah. The beard comes onto his face, the blessed beard. And thousands of defects due to that blessed beard leave that person due to the blessedness of his face. Subhanallah. So as the Ramadan takes the person to the extreme of taqwa. So these are the main, what are the main things that person, what are the main points, what was the main point that changed that person, that message of Ramadan, one point. وَجَّهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلًا. That, oh insan, Allah says, a human being, small amount of focus and attention turn to Allah. Little bit of focus turn to Allah, you have iman. You have iman. Doesn't matter how much off track you are. For a little bit you focus towards Allah. Okay Allah, I'll try and become good Allah. I won't be pious, but I'll try. Just a little bit of an utterance from his mouth. Allah's rahmah doesn't leave that person empty-handed. Allah's rahmah doesn't leave that person empty-handed. But negligence, shaitan, and laziness has trapped us, surrounded us so much, embedded into us, that from his mouth, from his awareness, these statements don't even come. Wallahi, if that person has small atoms weight of recognition, Ya, if only I was to improve myself. If I was to improve myself a little bit, that'd be good. Little bit of a feeling, if he brings that, then that same hadith Qudsi that I've shared with you, Allah's rahmah then pulls on that person. Allah's mercy pulls on that person. Allah brings him towards his nearness. So my brothers, in this, the sabak, the learning that Ramadan has given to us, a great learning, that correct your intentions. Always keep a good intention to do good. For example, if deen is very hard for you, to wake up for the hajjah, for example, it's very hard for you. How will I wake up for the hajjah? You think to yourself, how can I do this? Yes, there's one cure for this. Make an intention. Make it, okay, I'll try and get up. Just, okay, I'll try. I've yakin, inshallah, that intention will make you regular in tahajjud. Anything you want to practice in Deenul Islam, you want to get a high status, you want to become high level wali Allah, then don't be afraid. No need to shake. You are connected to Him, Allah, who wants to give to you. On every level Allah wants to give to you, every second Allah wants to give to you. So drag this, pull this veil down due to Ramadan. Pull this, tear this veil down, and all the rewards you get due to Ramadan. That your intention has come, and you focus a little bit of a glance towards your Rabb, your Lord. This is the one person who reminds you, should never say in his mouth that it's impossible, I can practice. Never. Oh, can you do this, brother? No, it's too hard. How can I do dhikr? How can I wake up in the morning? How can I stay awake in the morning? Please just give me a little bit of dhikr. I can't do this many tasbihs. It's too hard for me. It's impossible for me. Totally, a person should, he has these feelings, because ghaflat, negligence is embedded inside it. So the cure is that what do you need to do? Is just a little bit of a small glance to Allah. Allah, if I could be like this, it'd be very nice. That's it. Just say that much, go to sleep. The rest, Allah Ta'ala will take care of things. So never be despondent, never lose hope, never lack hope that I can't do this, I can't pray salah, I can't become the wali Allah, I can't become a ghawth, I can't become a kutub. That maqam, if Allah Ta'ala says, even if I don't take you to the heights, Allah says that I go according to your intentions and desires. The hereafter Allah will say, son, you were drowned in your sins, you were surrounded by fitna, your heart was black, but you had a desire that I want to become a ghawth, I also want to become a kutub, I also want to become a wali Allah. You had that desire. I also want to become like Mujaddid al-Iftani, like Abdul Qadir Jilani. They were all my pious servants. Allah said, I made them. Due to me they were made. And why were they made? They made just a small intention to become good. You didn't have that intention. You didn't have the intention. When you make the intention, then Allah Ta'ala says, it's my job to make you hard, my job to make you work hard. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nobody could come to this masjid if I didn't give them the power. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. So never lose hope. Rather, Ramadan comes with a glimmer and a candle of light with hope. That ask what you want to be. Have ambition, even if you can't see it. Even if you think you can never become a ghaus or a kutub or a wali Allah. Even though you are, in reality, that you think you're not a wali Allah. But if you weren't a wali Allah, then how would you be practicing the deen and such good actions? How would Allah Ta'ala take the work of His deen from you, the work of wilayat? How? So Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors for you. You don't think you're a failure. Even this, that even if the door opens and then you say the cool wind is not coming. If Allah Ta'ala takes you to the company of His wali, to a friend of Allah, and you learn dhikr, and then you say after that, I want to be a ghazqadi, you're already a wali Allah, mashallah, through the blessings and the company of Shaykh. You don't need to pay attention to spiritual feeling, etc. That Allah Ta'ala says you've broken the biggest barrier. What is that? That you have pulled on the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah. Allah's rahmah and grace and mercy, you have pulled on that. You've attracted that. Allah Ta'ala's glance is looking towards you, so don't lose hope with regards to thereafter. Never connect the dunya and the hereafter. These are two opposites. Totally two different scales. The scale of this world and the scale of thereafter. In the scale of the world, sometimes you'll be up, sometimes down, sometimes problems, sometimes money runs out, fighting with children, fighting with the wives, ups and downs and quarrels and arguments. This is the test of life. But the scale of the hereafter is different. Don't mix and contaminate. You say, I'm praying salah, still got problems. I'm doing dhikr, I've got issues. I'm doing good deeds, I've got problems. No connection with these things. Don't lose hope. Don't try to balance your deen with the problems of the dunya. At least think this much, that if despite practicing the deen, I've got problems, then Allah Ta'ala is increasing your darajat, your status, and testing you. Despite having the whole of the deen, Allah is still giving you sakina through the challenge of the world. But if you think, I've got problems in the world, I started to pray salah so I can get more turnover and profit, my business has gone downhill, I started to pray salah so I get contentment in the world, but then you started to bargain with Allah. Don't bargain with Allah. Look at your akhirah, how much you're making that good, how much you've earned for that. So anyway, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us this great name of Ramadan. It is explaining to us every lesson of life, every lesson of life due to Ramadan. We are sat here, we had a small intention of good, Allah brought us to His gathering, made an intention, Allah Ta'ala delivered us here. We have become people doing dhikr, good appearances, wearing imama, we are remembering Allah, doing His dhikr, trying to leave the sin. Even if we don't leave the sin, at least we accept that these things are sin. Is this a small thing? At least we should accept that sin is a sin, and a good thing is a good thing. That at least istighfar is coming to our mouth, Allah forgive me, I'm committing these sins. At least we're doing that. So always think positive, ask good from Allah. Allah, as Nabi said, ask for the highest in paradise. Don't ask for firdaus. Don't say, oh, I'm the lowest, I'm destroyed, I'm the worst, I'm sinful, I'm not going to get anything. Allah doesn't like this mindset. Allah says, ask for me, be positive, Allah will give you everything. If you don't get it in the dunya, then Allah says, I'll compensate you, give the high grade, whatever you wanted in the world. I want to be Allah, your wali, your friend, I want to be pious. Allah promises that I will raise you in the hereafter on that daraja, the high daraja. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the ability to understand these words, what we're discussing nowadays. May Allah give us the tawfiq to practice these things. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم یا اللہ تو ہم سب کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ پوری امت کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہر امت پوری امت کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہر نافرمان فرمانبرداروں میں سب کو تو بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری جنت کے دروازوں کو کھول دے میرے مولا یا اللہ یہ رمضان ہمارے لیے بہترین رمضان بنا دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما یا اللہ ہمارے لواحقین کی بخشش فرما ہمارے جاننے والوں کی بخشش فرما اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل و کرم سے یا اللہ جس طرح ہمارا رمضان تو نے سلامتی والا دیا پورا سال بھی سلامتی والا عطا فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے اندر باہر سارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے اندر سے پاک فرما دے یا اللہ تزکیہ فرما دے یا رحم العالمین ہماری ساری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین آمین.